Greetings. Welcome to the Beyond the Care podcast. I am your host, Dr. Paula. This podcast is about sharing information, resources, and the journey and experience of caregivers. So I hope that something you hear sparks something inside of you to help you along your journey. I'm excited about today's guest. Today's guest will share information about documentation and paperwork that you need as a caregiver. And we often don't think about this information, but it's so very important. So make sure you have a pen and paper in case you want to take notes. And I hope that something that you hear today sparks and resonates within you and will help you along your journey. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on and welcome our guest for today, Ms. Tamara Stokes. Greetings, my Beyond the Care podcast family. I am so excited again about today's guest. Today's guest we have is Ms. Tamara Stokes. Welcome, Tamara.
Thank you.
So glad to have you on. Thank you for being here. And Tamara's going to talk a little bit today about the documentation and information that you need as a caregiver. But first, let me read a little bit about her bio. I'm only going to read a little bit because if I read it all, we'll be here all day because she is so esteemed. So Tamara Stokes is a transformational life coach, author, speaker, and founder of Reimagining Life Coaching, known as the Authentic Caregiver Coach. All right, now, she empowers overwhelmed family caregivers to heal emotionally, discover themselves, and find fulfillment amid the demands of caregiving. Drawing from over 20 years as an educator and 4.5 years as the primary caregiver for her mother, Tamara brings wisdom, empathy, and lived experience to her work. While caring for her mother, Tamara repatterned her journey into a mission to support family caregivers. Her coaching blends mindset shifts, emotional release, breathwork, nature-based grounding practices, and journaling to guide clients through emotional discord and into purposeful transformation. She loves to share her powerful story of healing and reimagining life. All right. So I can't wait to hear your story and for you to share with the audience. So Tamara, tell us a little bit about your caregiving journey, how you became a caregiver, and who you cared for.
Okay, so I was a caregiver for my mom. She transitioned in January of 2025, so we're coming up on 7 months now.
Oh, recent.
Yes, yes. And I chose to be the caregiver for my mom because I saw what she went through. She raised my sister, my older sister, and I. She was a widow. I'm approaching 60. And so my dad died when I was 5. Mm-hmm. And she found him at the house. We were having a pajama party. She had to run outside to go to the store. And that's where she found my dad. And so as the youngest, I didn't really see the trauma that she and the grief that she actually really never had a chance to do because she had to raise 2 young girls. Mm-hmm. And so she took care of us and we didn't miss a beat. We didn't miss any of those childhood lifetime things because she made sure that we had them. Mm-hmm. So it was a no-brainer when I started to see some health issues to take her in. Mm-hmm. And actually I saw the things happening and then I got a call from the Cleveland police, come get your mother. So that sort of pushed it a little faster.
Right.
Yes. So I didn't know what caregiving like looked like. I just thought, oh, my mom is here. I'm going to take care of her. You know, it'll be fun. Well, and she was very independent when she first came to stay with my husband and I. And it was only in the last, I'm so blessed because it really was only in the last year or so, she had a stroke and she just couldn't seem to get her footing back. And that's when the true like caregiving, having to bathe her and do all those kinds of things came in. So we used to joke and I used to tell her I was her personal assistant for her be the beginning of her journey here with me. But nonetheless, it is definitely a uphill task.
So your mom got sick and you brought her to live with you into your house?
Yes, well, she was having some memory issues, and I got in the car and went up to a doctor's appointment with her. And at that doctor's appointment, they laughed at me because I said, I would like her to be tested because she's repeating the same thing over and over, telling me the same stories. And I didn't really know what that was, but I knew that wasn't my mother. And so they laughed, oh, she doesn't have any problems. She's fine. And I'm thinking, but I didn't
Something's not
know.
right,
Right.
right.
I didn't know. I didn't know until she came down here. I got us enrolled in a dual caregiving, or actually, it was a dual support group. It was a memory counseling. So we would both go. I went with the caregivers, and she went with all the other people who had memory issues. And that was our counseling. And it wasn't until I sat there and everybody's going around introducing themselves, and my person has, MCI, and I'm like, what is that? What is that? Like, I had no clue. And so I found out she got tested, and actually, I scheduled the test, but our healthcare system is so wonderful. We had like 6 months to wait, and I'm like, that's not gonna help me. When she had her stroke, unfortunately, that catapulted us to the top of the list. And that's not the way that I would suggest people get to the top of the list, but for us, she got all of the tests while she was in the hospital when she had her initial stroke. And so that gave us a diagnosis of the mild cognitive impairment, but she had the frontal vascular dementia.
So when you got the diagnosis and you heard and was confirmed that your mom had dementia, what ran through your mind? How did you feel? What did you think?
I'm the egghead of the family, so
Did you say
I said egghead.
egghead? Okay.
I devoured books and I devoured the internet and I looked up what's going on. I pulled out my anatomy and physiology books and I wanted to know what was happening so I could understand when I went in to talk to the doctors and not just be them talking to me, but we were having an exchange. And that is one thing that I am strong in. I saw it in my mom growing up to advocate for yourself. Because most times the medical establishment is going to talk at you instead of with you. And that was something that I demanded. No, you are going to have a conversation with me. I came with questions and I was always prepared when they were trying to throw out all the different medications and pharmaceuticals. I'm like, let's find something different, which I did find a pharmacist who has a wonderful business, and he will look at your list of medications and he will see if there's any kind of interactions and contraindications so that you shouldn't be taking this drug with this drug. And he thins out your medication
Medication.
list.
Oh,
That was amazing. Yes, 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 yes.
That's key. And you said something that was really key is that the physicians usually talk at you and that you came with questions. So many people don't come to the doctor with questions. They're scared to ask questions, but you have a right to know. And you should write down your questions before
Absolutely.
you go so that when you get there, you know exactly what you want to talk about and what information that you need.
Yes, I was prepared. They probably hated seeing me coming. Oh my, here's that lady again. Yes, I am here.
So one of the things when people find out that a loved one, a family member has dementia or Alzheimer's or a diagnosis, they're usually not prepared. That's key. They're thrust into the situation. They're not prepared. They don't know what to do. They don't have information. But you said you armed yourself with resources and information from the internet.
Yes. And another wonderful resource here in Winston-Salem, we have a lot of colleges, one of which is Wake Forest, and it's a school of medicine. And there they host it. It was through the Maya Angelou, it was the Maya Angelou Health Equity. And so they put on a program called the Caregiver College. And it was to educate specifically African Americans about dementia and the risk signs and the risk factors. And so I was able to participate. It was a week-long course all day. Yes, it was wonderful and timely. I learned so much about the disease and opportunities for brain harvesting, and that was something that didn't sit well with me, but I learned that in order for us to make sure treatments are available and made for us, we have to be studied. And of course, the first thing in my mind was Tuskegee,
Yes, we
you
always
know?
think about no clinical
Yes.
trials. Oh, we staying away from that.
Yes. And I still, I know the importance. I understand the importance of it, but mom made the decision she wanted to be cremated. And even though she still could have
Participated in the
participated
studies.
in the brain, having them take the brain, it just happened. Her decline went so quick and it didn't happen. So, but yes, I definitely advocate now for us because I've talked to a lot of the researchers who look like us, and the doctors again who look like us, and so it was easier to make that transition or to understand and to share with people that, to share your brain with research, and they give you a very detailed report, from my understanding, after they do the full investigation.
I have a whole session about clinical trials and importance of clinical trials.
Yes.
So you're a caregiver now. How is that? What's the
Well,
experience like?
I mean, being a caregiver, I mean, we're 7 months out now, and I was so busy. I little glimpses of the grief are starting to appear. And luckily, this area where I am, it is chock full of resources. I literally can walk to the hospice where my mom did a respite space. And so they also put on wonderful retreats. As a matter of fact, last Friday, I attended a caregiver's grief camp for adults.
Oh, that's
And
interesting.
yes, it was absolutely amazing because everyone in the room was dealing with the loss of a loved one. And it was a safe container to just express and cry. You could participate. And so, as a caregiver, I was going through my coaching course at the time. And so a lot of the strategies and the lessons that I learned, I was able to apply. And I thought, if I could do this, then I could teach other people how to do this in the caregiving capacity of how to move through their caregiving role with confidence, with resilience, and to be empowered as an advocate for their loved one, because so many people feel unseen, unheard, and just lonely, and that they don't know where to go for answers.
Absolutely. So I guess that's how you transform and became the caregiver coach.
The authentic
The
caregiver
authentic.
coach. Yes. That is because I, when mom was, well, as actually I started January of 24, I started getting on Facebook. I had not been on Facebook. And I just would share what I learned because I thought a lot of my high school, I had had a high school reunion, and we were talking, oh yeah, I'm taking care of my parent. I'm taking, and so I thought, let me share this with people.
Because
Because
so
if,
many of us are going through it,
exactly,
especially in this, our age range, we're all
yes,
going
that
through it. It's
sandwich, and so I started just sharing what I learned with people because I thought, no, I didn't know. Let me share it with someone else so they will know. And so it just sort of gained some traction. And I thought, well, you know what? I think I can help people
That's
in their
amazing.
role. Yes.
So what do you do? What are your services? What do you provide as the authentic caregiver coach?
Yes, so that is an excellent question. So I have a program and I tailor it to individuals right now because I want to work up to my group one because I want to see what people need and I can custom tailor the program to that whole mindset and the paradigms because a lot of times we feel like we can't. And you can. You just have to have the right direction and the right bridge to get you from the I can't territory to the I can territory. And once you have those bridges and that support system that's there for you, then you feel empowered. You feel like, well, you know what? It's not so bad. I'm
I
not
can do
alone.
this.
Yes, I can. I can do this. I can do this. And there has to be a change in how you see yourself in that role because a lot of times, sometimes people are voluntold to be in the role. And so you don't have any kind of resources. And so that's when I come in because I can offer that support, that check-in, give you some life work, if you will. I don't call it homework, I call it life work because those things that you are doing are preparing you for the next day and the next day and the next day.
Day
And
by day.
so, yes, you have to take it
Day
day
by
by
day.
day. And tomorrow, even though the sun is shining, it may not be shining in your neck of the woods, but the next day it will. And so I think I bring my charisma and my enthusiasm to people, and people see how I transverse that role, and they're like, I'll have what she's having because I really provide those tools to make you think about things because a lot of times we feel like everything is happening outside of us, but really it's the change that we have to do within that changes our outside, if that makes sense.
That totally makes sense.
That mind shift.
And that's so important because, like you said, some people voluntold, some people don't have a choice. They're just thrust into the role. They may be the only person, and now your world has changed. And it's like, what do I do? What the heck? What have I gotten myself into?
Absolutely,
What
absolutely,
does tomorrow bring?
absolutely.
What do I go from here? And we're not prepared. There's no training manual, there's no book. You
And
just
the
do what you have to do.
self-care. The
The self-care
self-care
is
is
so
so
important.
important. Because you can lose yourself. And that's my tagline. While I'm caring for my loved one, who's caring for me? So what are three self-care mantras, things you would tell a caregiver? And then I know we're going to get into your whole binder thing. That's what we're going to talk about, but all of this other stuff is so important. So first one is to just breathe. I know that seems crazy, but so many times I catch myself, I used to catch myself holding my breath throughout the day, right? If I'm doing something, I'm not really breathing, not deeply like I should. So taking just 4 minutes to do some deep breathing and feel what you feel in your body. Okay. The other one is to go outside. If you can, because I know everybody, depending on where you are, to ground, which means take your shoes off and step in some grass or on some actual ground, not asphalt, not cement, but on the ground to reconnect and to discharge everything that you have in your body and to receive the energy that the earth is giving you. So they call that grounding, and you can look up, there's a whole movie on it.
Okay, grounding.
Yes,
Okay.
grounding, grounding. They even have grounding sheets and things.
Oh.
And then the other one is to take time for yourself, even if it's to walk down the driveway and walk back up, or walk down the stairs and walk back up, to do something physical for yourself, right? And my background is in fitness, so of course I'm gonna suggest to do something that's physical. I like
Physical.
to go swimming, and so that's where I did a lot of my crying in the water, because no one could tell that you're crying because you're in
Cause
the
okay.
water. Yes. And I used to take my mom swimming with me too, and she would be over in the shallow end with her little bubble on, and I would go and do my laps, but still, I was grieving even there, because I knew that my Shiro had holes in her cape, and I knew that we weren't coming back around, if you will. You know, it's on, you're on that
Absolutely.
decline. So just acceptance of that, and just being present every single day, trying to be present every moment of the day, and celebrating what is right before me.
Yes. And crying, that is a release.
That
Sometimes you
is a
have to let it
beautiful
out and have
release.
a good cry.
I was a crybaby in my family.
It's okay,
I
and
didn't
it's okay to
understand.
cry. It's okay. You
I
gotta
got picked
release
on, yes, but
it.
I know now that is a very healing thing to do.
Yes, let it go, let it out. So, when I came across your profile, you were doing your BYOB training, and no, not bring your own bottle, but bring your own binder, bring your own binder. And you were talking
Yes.
about the documentation and the information and paperwork that you need as a caregiver, and you teach courses on how to create a binder. So tell us all about that. So, because this is just so key to being a caregiver.
Yes, it was an inaugural event that happened on July 27th. And again, being an educator, we organize our things in binders, you know? And so I thought, okay, I have all of these documents. You have your paperwork that you have to keep up for her visits, the appointment schedules, the after appointment, the after summary schedules, the doctor's cards, everything. And so it was a lot. And I needed to find a very short,
Organized.
right, organized space that I could grab and go. And so a binder. And so in there, I house what I do in a day. Just because if something happened to me, who's going to step in and be able to do the routine that I do? So I had my morning routine, my schedule. I had a list of all of her doctors and the specialists. I had all her medications and the way in which she needed to take her medications, even down to what the medication looked like. So when she came to me, it would take me an hour to fill her medicine, you know, for the month, because I was unfamiliar with it. But I used to take pictures of down inside the cup to see what the pills were. And then I started to put descriptions of what all the pills were, because different manufacturers, the pills, they will
Look
look the
different.
same, but they are different. And so if you're getting mail order shipments, which we did, depending on which insurance company you were getting them from, the pills will look different. And I was like, whoa. So organizing that for my own sanity, it was make my life easier to fill her medication. Having just a narrative, because the first one was a quick overview, like your schedule at a glance. But then I had an actual narrative. I used technology to do videos of me. She used to wear a glucose monitoring, the continuous glucose monitoring. So how to put that on and take it off, because the first time, like, we laughed because I could not figure out how to do it. I probably wasted a couple of those things, and they're expensive too. So how to do the medical procedures. She was diabetic, so keeping up with all that. So all of that information, it was just nice to have it in one concise place. And then my spiral notebook that I had when I went to the doctor's office, every single time we went, I put a note and the date and the time and the doctor's name, and if there was a substitute doctor, what their name was, first and last name, because there's a lot of Dr. Smiths and a lot of Dr. Williams. So just everything. And so I thought, you know what? I think I can work at this and tell people about this. And I know that there are other programs out there, but mine was different, I felt, because I walked you through, and then I gave you not just a hard copy for documenting your information, but I give you a file, an electronic file, so you can change it at will.
Wow, that was very organized. Oh my
And we
gosh.
actually need to do it for ourselves, because in all your financial records and insurance records, I mean, everything that popped into my head, I just put it there because you're prepared for the worst. And you're not scrambling around when you're trying to grieve and plan a funeral. You know, you have everything right there in that
At
binder.
your fingertips. Well,
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just so fascinated. I'm so in awe with that. And while you were speaking, one thing, a memory that came to mind, even though my mother had dementia, she always remembered what medication that she took. And she would count when you gave her medication, she would count those pills. She knew those pills. She might not have remembered your name or anything else, but she knew those pills. She
Yes.
was like, nope, where's my blue pill? Where's my this
Right.
pill? And one thing that we had done, I used to work for a health insurance company, and we would have one of our programs was medication delivery service. And so I had a medication delivery service who would put all the pills in a pack, a push pack, so all the morning pills and the evening pills, so that you would not have to, as a caregiver, have
Count
to
them out.
organize the morning pills, the evening pills, the daytime pills. So that's just something I just wanted to throw out there as a resource
Yes,
to people who may not
that
know.
is.
And it was so helpful, because they were all together.
Are they in a blister pack?
They're
You
in a
know?
blister pack.
Oh, okay.
So
Oh, wow.
it was awesome. It was a great resource and tool that we use. So back to this binder. Do you have a copy to show us?
Oh,
I should have
well,
reminded you to bring a
right.
copy to show us. My fault.
You know
That
what?
just means you'll
Yeah.
have to come back again and show us the binder.
Right. Yes. It's like it, I can't reach it, so.
It's okay. You'll come back and show
Yeah.
us what this binder looks like. So if a caregiver is listening to this podcast and they're interested in a binder, how should they contact you? What should they do? What are the first steps?
Oh, okay. So, like I provided a link to you,
Yes, and I will share
for
that.
yes, how to schedule a discovery call with me so I can just sit down and talk with you. And it's like a 20 to 30 minute call, and we just sort out what you have going on, because a lot of times what you say is really not what you got going on. So that's my specialty to help you and to see how we can work together. And even if you don't do the whole program that I offer, we could do a custom tailored program for you for your unique situation. That's why I am the authentic caregiver
Authentic.
coach.
Yes,
Yes,
yes.
yes. So they have that, and then I am on Facebook, the
Facebook.
Authentic Caregiver Coach. I am on TikTok, and will you be sharing all those down below for
I
me?
will share all of
Okay,
that
so yes,
information.
TikTok and YouTube. YouTube is where I house all of the ones that were the not perfect ones, but they were just me getting on there emoting, hence the authentic, because sometimes I'm crying on the videos, but you really see where I am and dealing with what I was dealing with at the time. I was happy, I was sad. So yes, you can see all facets of me on on YouTube.
Going through the journey.
Yes, going through that journey on that roller coaster ride. That's what I call it,
It
the
is a
roller
roller
coaster
coaster,
ride.
up and down, day by day. So
Yes.
just quickly, what are some things? I know we talked about medication lists, names of doctors, your routine. I'm thinking power of attorney,
Yes, that is in there as well. Living will.
living
And there's a
will.
place called Five Wishes. And really, it's those five demands, what people want, how I want to be treated, how I want, what I
Write
want to
that down.
be.
Five
Yes, it's
wishes.
fivewishes.org. And you can
Okay.
go online. There might be some organizations, your senior center or your center for aging in your area. Everybody does it differently. They may have some copies. And it's like a different type of a directive. And the directive where people are saying what they want in their final days when they can't speak for themselves. And so it was interesting. It's about 12 pages or so, a little booklet. And I had to do it in stages with my mom because I would get to the point where I just, what we're talking about here, you know? And I was like, ooh, wow, this is too much. Or sometimes she would say, you know, Tam, we need to stop right now. And I was like, okay, we'll stop. So it took us a while to go through it. But it basically asks, how do you want to be treated? Do you want to have, you know, a clergy here to pray for you? Do you want to have family members around you? Do you want people to be notified that you are ill? So it's really their last five wishes that they would like to have as they are preparing to depart.
And I'm sure that's difficult not only for you, as the loved one, but also for the person who, has to provide that information because they're coming to the realization that at some point my journey will end and I need to share this information. We are very secretive with our stuff. So five wishes. Okay. So what other documentation? Insurance
Yeah,
papers, I'm
if any
sure.
sh
Yeah,
insurance
insurance
papers, insurance
papers.
card, a picture of the loved one. You know, a lot of times when we put on the memorial folder program, we have a picture of them that how they were. You know, like actors and actresses, it's like, okay, you need to update that picture, but have an updated picture of your loved one in there too. Mom was not a wanderer, but for some people with dementia, and if they're moving into the Alzheimer's, they are wanderers. You know, they can get out. My auntie was a wanderer. And so if they get out and there's an APB out for them and they're looking for them, people need to know, have a
A
accurate
current
A
picture.
current picture of them, what they look like. Yes, so
That's a
that's
good idea.
important. Yes, and then I am working on companion cards because as mom's dementia got a little worse, and she really didn't move into the next stage, but it was different, a different version of her. When we would go out to restaurants, we would place our order. And then, as you know, the waitress leaves and then they come back and check on you. Mom always thought she was back to take the order again, and she would get a little upset that they weren't taking her order. So I would just slide this card and it says, the person I'm with has some memory issues. Just be aware of that. And I
Now,
saw
did you create that card?
it was given to me. And I'm going to sort of kind of change the language of it. That's more what I would say. Also, there was a card in there that if I'm in an accident and my mom is in the car, she is not going to be a resource that you can ask what's happening when the EMS comes, right? So it says, I am caring for this person because she was always with me. Here's the contact person you need to reach out to if I'm unable to respond. Does that make
Wow,
sense? So it's an emergency
absolutely.
car for me.
Wow.
And those things were gotten from a, it was a, the Council on Aging here in Winston-Salem. And again, I went through everything looking for resources because when she came down here, we were in the midst of the pandemic. So a lot of things were shut down, but I could call and ask what service that they offered so that when things opened up, I was like, I'm in line. I'm ready for this. I need this. So, yes, everything. Yeah, it was. And oh, there was a place. I'm trying to think. It just left my mind, but it's a place, MedAids, because with that stroke that my mother had, it took her, the last one took her sight. And so we were trying to find different aids. We had gone to the doctors and everything. And it was gradually going, but that particular one took her sight altogether. And so having devices around the house for her, yeah, it's a catalog, MedAids.
MedAids. That's why you're the authentic coach, because you have so much information to share. MedAids. These are great tools. We are definitely going to have you back on because you have to
Oh,
show us the
yes.
binder, and you have to show us some of the documentation for the caregivers,
Oh,
because this is
yes.
awesome. This is just kind of touching the surface.
And
Any
you
of
don't realize what you need, you know? You really don't. You just sort of put it together in your head, but just when you talk with other caregivers and you share different things you do, I never thought about that, you know? So it's a great way. And I just sort of started collecting all of those I never knew about that and put them together.
Exactly. And again, it's day by day. There is
Day
no
by day.
perfect journey to
No.
caregiving. It's do whatever you can do.
Small steps,
One
small
step at
steps.
a
Just don't
time.
stop, right?
Yep, one
Yeah.
step at a time. Any other advice that you'd like to give to caregivers? Anything that you can think of to someone who's been in your situation, it's been in your journey, what can you say to them?
I
And I know
would,
we've shared some little tidbits, but.
yeah, I would encourage people to participate in support groups. I didn't think that I needed it, but when I didn't go, I missed it.
You felt the void.
I felt the void. Yeah, I love the way you said that. And so I would strongly encourage you to seek that out. And then even counseling. I go to a group grief counseling, and the first time I went, I have to share this, I was just like, wow. And this is before I started having my grief bubbles come up. It was so, when I walked in the room, it was just so heavy. And I didn't like that. So I participated because once mom transitioned, I couldn't go to the support group anymore. I had to go to the grief group.
Grief.
And my friends and the people I had made connections with were in the other ones, but I understood. I understood, but that transition was like the walk of like, it was hard to walk into that room. I'll just say that. And so it was very heavy in there. And I went in and I was like all bubbly because, and they were like, well, when did she pass? And I'm like, oh, it's just been like a week or whatever. And they're like, looking at me. But when people went around and they were sharing and they were talking like 4 years, and I'm thinking, you're still, but I have learned everybody has their own schedule and you don't judge because,
I don't know if that feeling ever goes away,
No, in the anniversaries when they come up, because mom passed in January, so I had Mother's Day and it was like the first Mother's Day,
Those
and I
first
thought,
holidays
okay,
are rough.
what do I do? I hosted, because someone told me from the pool, she said, you know what I did? She said, I hosted a tea party for all my friends. And I thought, so I hosted a tea party, right? And we just sat around and we talked. And, you know, we shared, and it can just, so I'm thinking this is going to be an annual thing. Have a tea
Tea
party
party in her honor. That's
for my
awesome.
friends. Yeah, just invite them over. And we use her china.
Okay.
So it was nice. It was really nice. So, you know, you try to create things to just raise your vibration, raise the frequency of it, and take one step at a
One
time,
step.
you know?
And there really is no definitive time on when you heal and get over this, your feelings. I'm feeling like I have to breathe right now. It's been 7 years since my mom passed away. And, right now I'm feeling all of this. Ooh, so
We're in
you.
that sevens. You know, I was in the kitchen. I was preparing a meal. We're from Ohio. And the OJ's family reunion came on. Girl, I had to sit down. I was done. I just started bawling and doing that. And I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that, you know, but if you can recall that song, it's, you know, talking about mom and all the people. And I'm thinking, everybody's gone. Everybody's gone. She was the last one. And so, and the other day I was like, yeah, I wonder who. And I was like, I can't ask mom. And she would say that. And I was like, well, mom, you know, we're here. We can look it up and stuff, but I am in that space. And I'm just like, whoa. You know, so giving myself, and this is another thing, give yourself grace.
Grace.
Give
Absolutely.
yourself grace. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I just want to go take a nap. So I go take a nap because that helps to just release things and just sort of reset, you know, reset things. So I'm playing around with a lot of different things. And recently, this has just really intrigued me about the fact that we don't want to talk about death, but we all go through it.
We do.
And so I've been studying because this is something that, especially in the Black community too, we just
Absolutely.
don't want to talk about it, but we have to have our stuff together. We have to make sure that by having ourselves together, that helps us honor them in their passing,
Yes.
if that makes sense.
That makes
And,
sense.
you know, remaining present. Because I don't know about your family, but my family is a small family. But I've heard of people when they get together for the holidays and all this stuff starts coming up. Yeah, let it go, y'all. Let it go. Stay present because you never know if Uncle John is or whomever is, they're not going to be there next time. So celebrate, celebrate.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, there, when we look at the cultural intricacies of African Americans, there's so many
That's a whole nother conversation
that's a
and
whole,
series.
yes, that's a whole. Well, I am going to have a session on looking at the cultural understanding of caregivers because, as part of my research, there were so many underlying things that came out from the fact that we don't like to put our family in nursing homes, the separation and going back to slavery. So there's a lot, and then the secrets within Black
Oh,
families.
yes. She was right here.
I've been writing a book for about before my son wasn't born, so close to 30 years called, well, that's a whole nother topic, but part of it is the secrets in the family. So that's
That's going to be a beautiful book because I
yes,
really,
we
you
hold on
know.
to these things and we don't want to share. And it's important that we know what's happening and share information.
I to that point, I call hospice. And like I said, they're right around the corner, but she was right here in the house. I laid next to her when she took her last breath. And that was such a beautiful, and it was so valuable for me because she was there, obviously, when I took my first breath. And so I felt like that was a full circle that was completed, you know, that circle of life. And they gave me everything I needed, hospice. So that's another thing in our culture. We don't want to deal with,
We don't
but
want to accept.
yes, And I did, and I did not know that the date was so far. I thought they probably was like, this girl is like clueless. Yes, I was. I totally was, but they give you all the resources that you need to prepare you for that. And so, I mean,
And
again,
they are
that's
spot on. They tell you what to look
spot
for. They are
on.
spot on. Yes.
Yes. So I really, really, I didn't really understand what they did, but I definitely am an advocate for them now, because it just made it took that weight off of me.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, we've touched on a lot of topics, and
Yes.
I know we could probably go on and on, but like I said, this is the first, I'm sure, of many
Many.
conversations. And this is what this is, just a conversation.
Yeah, love
Many
it.
conversations with you, and you've been so resourceful. Definitely shared a lot to think about, a lot of information. I will share all of your contact information with the audience so that they can get in touch with you. And I just love having this conversation with you. Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for your time. We appreciate you telling your story, and we will definitely talk more and have another conversation
I
about
look forward
something
to that.
else.
Yes,
Yes.
yes, yes.
So thank you, Tamara Stokes, the authentic caregiver coach,
Authentic.
for this time, your information, your resources, and for being a part of the Beyond the Care podcast.
I love that. I love
Yes,
that.
because we have to go beyond the care. It's
Beyond the
beyond the
care.
day-to-day what you're doing as a caregiver. There's so much more.
Oh, yes, that's an abyss.
Yes. All right,
Thank you
Beyond the
so much,
Care.
Dr. Paula.
Thank you.